This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Your number is 877-217-5757, and talk at talklouisiana.org is where you can reach us on the World Wide Web. And in studio are Kevin Cope, the former head of the LSU Faculty Senate, and Stephanie Regal, who is the editor of the Greater Baton Rouge Business Report. And Stephanie will comment on a few things today, but we'll get her take on a story she has in the latest issue regarding the tumult, if you will, at LSU. Once again, the old war school is looking for a leader. It happens, it seems, quite often. And the latest president to go, and he was also president and chancellor, King Alexander. And there's also discussion about merging those two positions. And we'll get the take from Kevin and Stephanie about where this is all going. And, of course, this is the flagship university, and many in our listening audience are affiliated in one way or another with Louisiana State University. Dr. Cope's been there for 37 years, graduate of Harvard, came this way, probably thought he would stay a few years, and all these years later, he's at LSU where he earns $104,000 a year. And for those who'd like to know what everybody at LSU makes, not just the athletes or the, that was a Freudian slip, not just the athletic administration and the coaches, but all the other employees, you can go to tigerrag.com. We have printed the budget for all the employees, and so there are a lot of people making far more than Dr. Cope, who is one of the most decorated professors on campus. Maybe your eloquence has a price that's in the negative.
That certainly is true. That is, the exercise of free speech involves the use of freedom, which means non-payment. So there's a certain amount of truth to that. On the other hand, of course, these salaries have to be evaluated against the national standards, and in comparison to the cost of living in Louisiana, perhaps they're not that bad. All of that having been said, of course, there's always a big brouhaha whenever six-figure salaries get published. But in comparison to what people who are professionally trained make in most disciplines in most part of the country, the salaries at LSU are seriously, seriously behind.
Well, King Alexander was a high-paid administrator, but he actually got a raise by going to Oregon State. But technically, he's still on the payroll until March 31st. Do you see him around campus at all?
I have not seen him. Of course, he doesn't report in to me. Unfortunately, I don't have access to his calendar. But it would be a very good question to ask. Exactly what are the duties that go with being a special advisor to the interim president when you're the former president?
Okay, I'm looking at this list of all non-classified employees operating budget as of July 1, 2019, and they're on page one is F.K. Alexander, $618,000 he earned to be at LSU, and he got a pay raise to go to Oregon State University. But he has been under censure for many years by his faculty, led by Kevin Cope. Is he still under censure?
Yes, he's still under censure, and that situation will persist whether he's here or not until such a time as the errors that led to the censure are corrected.
877-217-5757 if you'd like to talk with Dr. Kevin Cope. What do you think about merging the two positions, president and chancellor? Was that a good idea?
Well, that's an interesting question because there are problems either way. If you have the positions merged, then you end up with LSU, supposedly the lead campus, without any kind of champion and simply running on a kind of idol, trying to be inoffensive with regard to the other campuses. If, on the other hand, you create a chancellor who's independent of the president, then what happens is that the university ends up pitting itself in competition against the other universities that should be supported. What the real nature of the problem is that the board itself is incapable of conceiving any kind of more creative arrangement for the governance of the university. And I would submit what we really need is to put the entire system into receivership with an outside board to evaluate the governance and to indeed evaluate the people who are in the governance structure.
Now, Richard Lipsey, who is either credited or blamed for the departure of King Alexander, depending on one's point of view, has sent out an email yesterday, a mass email, saying our group has been contacted by alumni and citizens in the past few days expressing insistence that a transparent and truly nationwide search be conducted by the LSU Board of Supervisors to fill the position of LSU president. When the LSU board announced the hiring of Scott Woodward as athletic director, there was an immediate national wow factor reaction for the hiring of a highly qualified leader that clearly was one of the best for the job to be found anywhere. The selection of the next LSU president will have a greater impact on Louisiana than almost any decision being made this year. We can't do less in regard to this critical job. So is a national search window dressing, or are we already, in some cases, the people have their minds made up.
Well, I would submit that this memorandum that you just read with your usual eloquence, Jim, is a true example of the mixture of good and bad. It is indeed the case that we ought to have a national search because the scuttlebutt that there are three candidates and that they're all, in one degree, are local, even if one of them has left town, is troubling given the international profile of LSU. On the other hand, this memo emanating from some sort of group, dare I say, like Donald Trump himself, the dark government coming out of some unknown quasi-conspiracy and animated by a veneration for an athletic director who was also selected in a semi-secret process, this also raises questions.
Well, in the Scott Woodward hiring that Richard Lipsey notes, that was not what I would consider a national search. That was basically going out and finding the guy you want and offering him the job. He just happened to be from another school.
Are you telling me, Jim, that you don't understand that national means between here and the center of Texas?
Well, Mark Emmert is the guy that some of these people covet. They would like to see Mark Emmert, who's head of the NCAA, to return to Baton Rouge. And he, according to some, has said he would at least look at it. I don't know what that means, but would you be pleased if you saw President Emmert, or former Chancellor Emmert, become back as president and chancellor of the old war school?
Mark Emmert is certainly a clever man, and he did a few good things, including raising the level of ambition at LSU. On the other hand, he's got a big rap sheet, having been the head of the NCAA having been the head of the NCAA for a good many years and not instigating all that much reform. That is, we've still got the same old controversy about athletics up and down the nation. Mark Emmert does not seem to have effected a revolution. How in the world is he going to overturn this inbred hierarchy here?
Well, some people give him high marks when he was chancellor. Let's bring in Stephanie. And one of the reasons, of course, was that he was intricately involved, along with then-athletic director Joe Dean, in the hiring of Nick Saban. So football, as we know, trumps everything. It made $55 million last year for its for the athletic department. All the other sports lost money except for a little bit of a profit from baseball and basketball. That's men's basketball, by the way. Women's basketball lost $4.5 million. But Mark Emmert, Stephanie Regal, is that legitimate or is that just pie in the sky?
Well, I mean, I don't know what it would take to get him here, and I don't know where his heart and mind are on this. But I do know that the efforts to get him here are very real, and that's what you see going on with the Lipsey missives. You know, I mean, it's just – and to Kevin's point, I mean, it's sort of astounding that you would have boosters, you know, sending out this you know, well-orchestrated blog campaign talking about, you know, what this group is doing. And the thing is, he really does have influence, I mean, at least with some people and with some people on the board. And to Kevin's other point, you know, I mean, this board is not clear on what they want to do. They're getting different marching orders from different factions. And I think that's one reason why more than 2 months after King Alexander announced that he would be leaving, announced that, you know, he was taken over at Oregon this summer, nothing has happened publicly. They haven't even announced. They haven't even had a special meeting to say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have the national search. We're not going to have the national search. We're going to have a committee to study splitting the positions up again. It's crazy, you know? But I think that again, that speaks to where this board is, and they're just not united, and they are answering to different constituencies, boosters, maybe political influences.
LSU, as former Chancellor Mike Martin said, is the most political place on the planet, and Mike Martin has the battle scars to prove it. Stephanie, in her piece in the Business Report, notes that once upon a time, LSU hired a new president in a board meeting. There was no search. So, Alan Copping, the suave, debonair, white-haired dentist, a friend of Edwin Washington Edwards, he was anointed as president, and there was no bloodshed. No. Some people would like to see that happen again, a process like that. I gather Dr. Cope is not one, and I suspect that will never happen again, Stephanie.
Well, I loved this story. It was so much fun to find this nugget in The Advocate from 1984. It was written by Carl Redman, who was with the Capitol Bureau back then, went on to, you know, be the editor of The Advocate. But, you know, In the wake of Wooden's anticipated announcement, Carl wrote, the board did exactly what many insiders predicted. Without a single voice of protest, they reached over to the medical center and tapped Alan Copping to take Wooden's place. Admitting the selection wasn't a surprise, Copping said he was ready to accept the challenge. And then this is the best part. Board member Patrick Taylor later explained why it was best to pick a local for the position rather than conducting a lengthy search. And he said, a search committee might scour the nation and find a top administrator who would bring 2 days of good press to LSU and then take 5 years to learn the university.
All right, and that is the Patrick Taylor who gave us the Taylor plan, which is Tops. Great benefactor to LSU, a fabulously successful oil man who died much too young, but he was on the Copping train.
Yeah.
And so were several others. Your current boss, Ralph McAllister, when he got on the board, he was a thorn in Alan Copping's side, and ultimately Dr. Copping went by the wayside after Edwin Edwards left office, and the beat goes on at LSU. How long will it take? Might even be a year. We'll talk about that some more, and we'd like to hear from you. 877-217-5757. Back after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 for Dr. Kevin Cope. And we're going to go to the phone lines and talk about the merry-go-round at LSU. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Henry, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Ms. Stephanie. Good morning, Dr. Cope. Mr. Jim, I heard just a few minutes ago Dr. Cope mention that Dr. Mark didn't do much as director of the NCAA. Well, I did a little research into that because I'm a fan and a regular watcher of Tiger Rag Extra on Channel 4, and I saw that great, 20-30 minute interview you did with the great Daddy Dale Brown, one of the great critics of the NCAA. And I believe Daddy Dale mentioned that under Dr. Mark's tutelage, quite a few reforms of the so-called Gestapo tactics have taken place. And I was wondering if you could expound on that a little bit.
All right, Dr. Cope. Thank you, Henry.
What the illustrious Daddy Dale is talking about is the way that the NCAA muscled programs and muscled coaches around. And, of course, Dale had more than a few fracases with the NCAA. However, in terms of the reform of higher education athletics overall, in dealing with transparency relating to its economics, its money flow, in addressing questions related to the abuse, the exploitation of student-athletes, in slow going on the payment of student-athletes, etc., all of these things did not go very far under Mark Embert. Now, I'm not necessarily blaming him for it. I'm just pointing out that higher education athletics is, in its present state, a corrupt institution, and that corruption has not disappeared.
You're not celebrating the LSU championship season. Talking about corruption in college athletics is not very popular on campus right now, is it?
Well, what did the championship really do? That is, it trained a very large number of people not to exercise, not to engage in athletics, but to sit on the sofa. And it used a lot of money to produce a good number of Chinese-produced junk goods with poorly designed logos on them so as to make the people costumed in an inappropriate fashion.
Now, but there are those who believe that this translates into branding that's going to attract people and interest them in the school. Does that work?
Well, it depends on what you mean by work, and your point is well taken, Stephanie. It certainly works economically, but we don't know where all of that money is really going, especially since the current athletic director is not a fan with regard to faculty influence or transparency. And we have to ask, exactly how is it working with regard to the mission of a university? Is it training people to think, or is it just training them to stand up and cheer?
All right. 877-217-5757. Is your number, and talk at talklouisiana.org. Tracy at the Capitol noting what some others have said, that Jay Darden would seem to be an ideal choice, some people believe, former student body president at LSU, former LSU board member by virtue of having been student body president. And he says he's interested. He said as late as last week on this show that he's interested in the job. Would he be a choice that would have the people's support, in particular the faculty support? He does not have that PhD, Kevin Cope. Is that two or three strikes against him right there?
Well, the last time I was here and I mentioned that, you cautioned me that he had a JD, and that was a doctoral degree. So I don't want to go up against your expertise by any stretch of the imagination.
That is true, but some people don't believe that's analogous. However, I do, but maybe you don't.
I've got nothing against Jay Darden. In fact, he's come to my faculty governance meeting a couple of times. He has made some nice observations, seems to be supportive of higher education. But some of those qualifications, such as being ingrown into the student body, the student governance system, being local, being a person who compromises a little too much, I don't think that these are high qualifications. He also doesn't have any traction with the faculty whatsoever. He's just some sort of force out there in the government that the faculty cannot get to because the government has spooked so many people into thinking that they can't lobby being state employees.
I don't think it's any secret, though. I mean, it's pretty well known out there that several months ago, right, there was a real push by some in power in the state to create a position for Jay. And that's really what led to this talk of deconsolidating the positions. And that way, maybe Jay could hold the administrative one, and then they could find someone with the academic credentials to be chancellor, for instance, or vice versa, whatever it is. Mary Werner, the current chair of the Board of Supervisors, told me for that article, Jim, that you know she's heard from everybody that they need to investigate splitting the positions, which is James Carville notes in that position. Sounds like they're lining up the stars for someone or something. But now, you know, with Lipsy's missive of yesterday, you wonder if maybe the tide hasn't turned and maybe there's a Mark Emmert out there who says he needs the money behind one position if he's going to come down here.
Another listener points out that Emmert is soon to be 69 years old, but by today's standards, when you look at who's running for president, he's a baby.
Is Elizabeth Warren married? She's the same age. It could be a match.
Well, she's also got a history of being on the faculty. She once taught Ted Cruz at Harvard. Now, in your story, a great quote from James Carville, Stephanie, if you get the chance to get the best back, you should do it, talking about Emmert. He says, Emmert's the best leader since William Tecumseh Sherman. And I love this. It's very Carvillian. It would send off good vapors.
Right.
So he's on the Emmert train. Jim in Denham Springs. Jim, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. I have a question. So if they split the position and then have one person who is doing administrative stuff and one person who is working on the academic side, who gets the fancy house on the lake? Do they turn it into a duplex?
Well, that's a good one. In fact, nobody's occupying it. It's really just the ceremonial center.
It used to be a requirement for the president or chancellor to live there. Sean O'Keefe lived there. He said he didn't particularly think it was a great home, but he had kids, too. And, you know, when you're rumbling around, it's an old-style built in the 50s.
It's a classic mid-century modern.
Yeah,
it's a fabulous house, but you have to appreciate that style of architecture.
Yeah.
And then William Jenkins was there for a while, and then King Alexander decided he didn't want that, and so they bought him a house.
And he never moved in.
He was supposed to move in, and then never did.
But he never did. And And so it's vacant. But the last occupant of that house is John Bell Edwards, who was there after the flood of 2016. He set up shop there. In fact, he liked it so much, I'm told, that he really wanted to stay. But then there's a law that says the governor has to live in the mansion. So it was back to the mansion he went. But most people would enjoy living right on campus there. Maybe it would be, you know, instead of lamenting the fact that you're not as paid as well as some of these other people. In fact, I look on page one, Kevin Cope, of the Tiger Rag list of LSU employees, and there is a professor, an assistant professor, which means no tenure, right?
Correct.
Earning $201,600, almost double what you've made. How long have you had tenure?
Oh, I've had tenure, I think, 32 years.
32
How do you like
years.
That? Right.
32 wow. years. Well, how is it determined? Do you go in for an annual review like businesses and get told
well,
whether or not you're going to get a raise?
That's a good question. There is an annual review in academe, but of course tenure is a property right in Louisiana, so it is in some sense a vacant sort of annual review. Nevertheless, it bears on the salary that one receives. That is, you can have tenure at a 1983 salary, and here it is 2020. Of course, that's not much of a possession. So the annual review does count economically, but unless somebody commits a high crime and misdemeanor, it's unlikely that a tenured professor will be removed.
Well, it used to be that $100,000 was a high payment in academia or anywhere else, but the times have changed, and as we noted, the president and chancellor, King Alexander, was earning $618,000. At one time, LSU was paying, I think it was when Emmert was here, him more than any other public university leader in the country. Wasn't LSU doing that at one point?
At one point, yes.
At one point, but now the price of leadership in academia has gone through the roof, and I have found Kevin L. Cope, who is a full professor, and he earns $104,400 a year, and he's been there 37 years.
What's my ranking on the Tiger Rag list?
Well, I'm looking at this. I would say there are probably 300 or 400 people on this list earning over $100,000 a year, maybe more. Probably that's about right. And as I mentioned on page one, an assistant professor earning $201,600 must have some special knowledge about a particular field. Doesn't say where the professor is situated. So do professors in engineering earn more than those in English?
They certainly do. And on top of the heap is always the B school. Business.
Okay. We'll spend some more time with Kevin Cope, Stephanie Regal, and also we'll hear about home prices in Baton Rouge. Now the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and Stephanie Regal and Kevin Cope are in the house. Kevin Cope, 10 years as Faculty Senate President, 37 years at LSU, and Stephanie in a major piece in the current issue of the Baton Rouge Business Report, for whom she is the editor, has a profile of the change of direction at LSU. And we also get Stephanie's take in a few minutes regarding a story that's in the current issue regarding home sales in Baton Rouge. People spend a lot of money to live in Baton Rouge. It used to be that $1 million was like off the chart to buy a home in Baton Rouge. Not so much anymore.
Back when $100,000 was a good salary, right?
That's right. Well, $100,000 based on average salary in this country is still pretty good. In Louisiana, a quarter of our people live below the federal poverty level, which is $25,000 for a family of four. So a lot of people would love to earn what Dr. Kevin Cope does, but based on the market, it would seem, and I'm not blowing smoke at the man, but it would seem that he's probably underpaid based on the market and what others are earning at Louisiana State University. And another listener asked me, and I am certainly obliged to do so, that I am the president of Tiger Rag, but you can go to our website. We're not charging you anything. The information is free, and it is a public record. We had to work a little to get these numbers, but all the salaries are there for you to peruse, and I'm sure the LSU community is interested in what everybody is making. And Dr. Cope is a good sport. He said, sure, you can tell people what I make. Jamie in Woodgate. Jamie, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Jamie.
Yeah, hi. My husband recently, past husband was a physics professor at LSU. And by the time he paid himself over the summer with his grants, he was making over $200,000. Now, as a physicist, he was also at the top of his field. Also, about the president and chancellor,
yes.
I think it'd be great to separate the two, because the job of a president is essentially to get money for the university.
All right.
And the chancellor then is free to work on academics.
Okay.
Well, I would in principle agree with you. That is, I think of the two possibilities, that is the conjoined presidency and chancellorship versus the divided is better because at least then the LSU campus has some sort of champion. However, I don't think we're going to get very far until we give the universities some degree of political autonomy. As long as either the president or chancellor or some combination thereof is answerable to a board which is a direct gubernatorial appointee, then you're simply going to have the same old oligarchy and all of the political consequences that follow from it.
Stephanie?
No, I agree with what Kevin's saying, especially about the Board of Supervisors. I do think it's important to remember, excuse me, and we point this out in the article, that you know, the impetus, well, there were a couple of reasons that they merged the two positions back in the Jindal years. And there was a lot of study and consultant reports and thought that went into that decision. I mean, LSU was, and to a certain extent still is, but much less so, very siloed, you know, and not very united. And that was working against the system as a whole. And so part of the thinking was that if they could create this one LSU, right, and get on the same page with fundraising and with some of their mandates, get the faculty at the different campuses working more closely together, right, that it would improve the rankings, that it would improve mm-hmm. overall performance. And so merging the leadership was seen as a part of that. There was also, of course, historical animosity between the previous chancellor and president, and they wanted to make sure that wouldn't happen again.
All right. Chelsea downtown says LSU could do much worse than having Jay Darden as president and Stephen Morey as chancellor. And Morey is interested in the job, and he's done a great job. He's named the guy of the year in Virginia for his work in getting Amazon to come to the suburban Washington area. But he has his PhD, Kevin. He went to Penn. He has his PhD. He has his union card. But he worked for Bobby Jindal. Is that three strikes against him?
Well, I don't know if this is equivalent to baseball with a three strikes system. Look what happened with the three strikes you're out system in California. There you've got such a backlog of prisoners that the state will never get out from under its public obligation. That's not always the best theme to strike. However, the basic problem is that we seem in this state only to be able to look at the familiar. Nothing wrong with these folks. They're nice, accomplished people. But they are the same faces we've seen before in a university that supposedly appeals to the entire globe, or maybe if you believe that it's a space grant university, the entire universe. Why
well,
is
we
it
hired the spaceman, and he didn't last very long either.
Yeah, he got the boot as well. He took the rocket ship to Poughkeepsie. But the
Syracuse, actually.
Right.
But.
We also have to note that all of these three are your standard middle-aged white male candidates. Why don't we have any diversity of any kind, ethnic, gender, political?
Well, sounds like you'd like to see a new face, somebody we've never heard of. Maybe a woman, maybe a person of color, maybe all of those so-called minority distinctions.
Might be a nice idea. Now, I'm not trying to create a set-aside we've got to consider those
and
people.
And once again, and this happens every time we talk about this, Condoleezza Rice. Would you be in favor of her?
Well, actually, I would, because I'd like somebody that is tough and is able to stand up against the status quo here.
Well, she led us into war in Iraq, which some people don't think was a very good idea,
well, we
including
need a
the
war,
current president.
We need a war on ignorance in this state.
All right, but she does have a PhD, very brightly, and she's from the South. She's from Alabama.
There you go.
Dominic in Grand Coteau. Dominic. Hi, Dominic.
Good morning, guys and gals. I was just wondering, what was King Alexander censured for? I don't know if you said it when I left the room.
Yeah, he was sent, and it was several years ago, and the faculty, really an untold story, but the faculty had him under censure for 5 years or more?
Yeah, he's been under censure primarily for a case in which a university professor was dismissed owing to the alleged use of colorful language in the classroom. This is basically an academic freedom issue. However, there are some other issues relating to the governance of the university that were in question and with regard to his openness to faculty input. There's also another censure out there from a national organization, the American Association of University Professors, that's been out there for maybe 10 years now. LSU has the distinction of being the only institution by the National Academic Association that I just mentioned that has been censured twice and had them both right. reiterated.
But he used, Teresa Buchanan was fired primarily for foul language in the classroom.
Right.
And you made a good point. Does that mean we fire Coach O? He used foul language in the locker room. He was caught on video doing it, using the F word. Does that mean Coach O's
got
to go?
Listen, I've got my microphone-based drone hovering over the Louisiana Radio Network just to make sure there's nothing inappropriate in the way of language here.
Okay, well, fortunately, we're not a state body, but that is a slippery slope because students who are on the football team are the same as students in Dr. Buchanan's classroom. They're impressionable young people as well, and maybe they should not be exposed to four-letter words.
Well, that's it, and you got a gender issue going here, too. Let's ask, get out your list and see how many women are making over $100,000 on the LSU football
team.
All
right, well, you're going to provide some research for us. How many... How many women, we have the list of the athletic department, and there aren't many women at LSU or in the athletic department earning over $100,000 a year, but there are some coaches who are, and I know of at least one administrator who is, and Some jobs pay well at the university. Others don't pay as well. But Dr. Cope, we're glad you've stayed for 37 years, and always you're a provocative guest. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jim.
And we're segueing to another Stephanie Regal story. This home could be yours. $14 million located at 11001 Highland Road. A $14 million home in Baton Rouge must be quite a pad, huh?
It is quite a pad. It's the former home built by Paula Pennington Le Breton around 2005, and it is by far the biggest house in Baton Rouge. It's a compound, sort of an estate. I forget how many acres it is exactly, 14, yeah. 17 acres. There's the main house, and then there are two separate houses. There are two swimming pools, you know, a gym, outside kitchen, wow. Inside kitchen. It's a fantastic house, and it's got historic live oak trees on the grounds, and the Le Bretons put it on the market in 2014 for $20 million. It sat on the market for several years. The price was lowered to around $18 million. It finally sold
For six.
And now that family, they've had it for 2 or 3 years. They're now listing it for $14 million.
Doctors Andre and Jessica Bruni.
And they are dentists. They have a chain of dental clinics. And they also invest in real estate. They have several children. They've been raising their children there, having a great time, they say. They wouldn't admit mm-hmm. that it was too much house for them, but they said they've just decided to go in a different direction, and they know that it's going to take some time to sell. So they've put it on the market, and we thought it would be fun to show some of the pictures because they really are spectacular pictures.
Yeah, and if Dr. Cope gets his raise, perhaps this could become the Cope compound. Here it says, as in previous years, this from Stephanie, a growing number of buyers in the high-end segment of the local residential market opted not to disclose the actual sale price of their home with the clerk of court. Instead, they recorded just a nominal sale of $100 or less. How can they do this?
Well, it's legal in Louisiana. And of course, this is our annual top 10 most expensive home sale issue. It's one of the most read issues of the year. But there are some people who just don't want their information out there in the public domain. And so there is a provision of state law. As it turns out, the number has to be recorded somewhere, but it can be in the privacy of your attorney's office. And so your property attorney can keep that number in the contract under seal, and it never has to be disclosed in the public domain. So an increasing number of people are recording the sale price as $100 and other valuable considerations, or even $10 and OVC. But it's creating a huge headache for real estate brokers and for appraisers that are trying to get comparables, you know, comps, so that they can determine how to price other properties that are on the market for sale.
And one that was recorded at $100 for $2.3 million. And interesting, as we go to a break, a Crescent at University Lake, that fine looking building right on Stanford Drive. You can buy a four bedroom, I guess you'd call that a condo.
And they're condos, absolutely.
Yeah, for $1.99 million. Yeah. $1.99 million, and you'd be walking distance to campus. We'll talk more when we return after this time out on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. In just a moment, we're going to hear from Dr. Neil Barnard. His book is Your Body in Balance, The New Science of Food, Hormones, and Health. And we're visiting with a very fit journalist. Dr. Stephanie Regal is in the house for a few more moments, and in her latest missive in the Business Report, she profiles the top home sales in the Baton Rouge area for 2019, and there was one that sold for $3.5 million, a familiar name, Collis Temple III.
Right.
We have Collis Temple Jr. on this show quite a bit, but Collis Temple III also played basketball at LSU, prominent business person, and he bought a home in Zachary for $3.5 million.
That home is actually very interesting, and the story there was that the previous owner and I don't want to say it wrong, but he was either indicted or he pleaded guilty to some white-collar criminal charges. And so Temple was able to buy that home from the trustee that had to take over the estate after the previous owner got into trouble. It's on quite a large piece of property. What's interesting about some of these most expensive homes this year, the top two were over $3 million, And just a couple of years ago, that would have been unheard of in Baton Rouge, you know. And then several on the list were well above $2 million. Nothing was you know, below 1.5, really. I think that the cheapest of the top 10 was almost 1.5. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing the prices go up. But there is a larger inventory than at any time in recent memory of homes over $1 million. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's like a 3-year supply. So you have plenty of, you know, homes to choose from if you're so interested. But I think, as one of the agents explained to me, they think that because there's been so much new development and there are so many new high-end subdivisions, that's why there's so much more supply out there. The question is there the demand?
Well, thank you, Stephanie. And it's all profiled in the latest edition. It's the cover story, Baton Rouge's 10 Most Expensive Home Sales.
Fun pictures to look at.
Of 2019. You have some beautiful, beautiful places.